Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, speaking to you from the borough of Queens in New York City. It is the 15th day of March, 2023. Really happy to tell you that Cheri Leadon is with me. She is the CEO of Gold Bull Resources, and they are the sponsors for today's show. I have been following now Gold Bull Resources over the past year or so. It is a minuscule, has a minuscule market cap, but it has nearly 500,000 ounces of gold in the in its resource with lots of exploration potential. It's certainly, in my view, a story that not too many people are paying attention to, but they should. And that's why I'm really happy to have Cheri with me. She is a very experienced geologist. She worked with Rio Tinto, for example, for a number of years. She's 20 years or so in as a geologist, and the last 10 years have been at the CEO level of, I think, more junior mining companies, perhaps, but at least this is the one that I know her from, and really happy to welcome Cheri. Thanks for joining me, Cheri.
Thank you very much, Jay.
Yeah, before we get started, I guess I should tell people that your shares trade in Canada under the symbol C or GBRC, and you can buy them down here in the States as I have under GBRCF. Just a little under 100 million shares outstanding, and as I mentioned, a minuscule market cap, $6 million US money. I guess that'd be about 8 million in Canada, but either way you measure it, it's minuscule. Your company has something like just under 500,000 ounces. I think they're oxide ounces, probably maybe heap leachable ounces, but anyway, let's get into that. You have a 494,000 ounce resource. And that was in 2021, I think it was. I believe you've done some work since then. Is there any chance of upgrading that resource anytime soon?
Yeah, we definitely see the resource growing in the right direction, but we'd like to put some more holes in it before we come out with our resource estimate increase to make it meaningful. Essentially, what we're seeing is we're seeing gradual resource increases around the known resource where the resources remain open. When we purchased the project from Newmont in 2020, it only had 290,000 ounces. So we've already come out with one incremental increase. To just shy of 500,000 ounces. And I'd like to see one more drill program before we come out with the next increase to make it meaningful.
Yeah, and I believe those resources are from four pits, mostly from four pits. Maybe there's a fifth pit, but mostly, and they're right on surface, as I understand it, or very close to surface. They're all oxides, I guess, and heap leachable, and I think you've done some metallurgy and that come out quite good.
Yeah, so we've got four deposits within the Saman project, and they're all between 100 and 150,000 ounces at the moment. Most of them remain open. The ones in the north are all oxide, and we've got the two deposits in the south oxide for the first about 100 meters, and then it transitions into sulfide. So they behave a bit differently, but the metallurgy has been excellent for the top oxide, which we'll process by the proposed heap leach, and also the sulfide material recovers very nicely as well. And there's some nearby facilities for that.
Well, I believe those pits are pretty close together, are they not?
They are, to drive from the furthest north to the south takes about 10 minutes drive. In our proposed preliminary economic assessment, we look at actually having two discrete operations, so two discrete heap leaches. So rather than trucking it that 10 minutes or so, it worked out cheaper just to have two discrete operations, one in the north and one in the south. That's not going to add much more capital, yet it's going to reduce our operating costs.
Right. And you've done a PEA, I think.
We have, yes, we announced that late last year. The economics were quite sensational. NPV of $77 million, payback period of just over a year, a 99% IRR, and that was based on 35,000 ounce per annum mining operation, and essentially going from one pit to the next pit to the next pit, average grade of 0.74 grams a ton, all oxide, all above the water table, low strip ratio of 1.6 to 1. So, and we thought those economics would really motivate the market, and that was based only on 50% of our resource located above the water table. So now we're actually doing a PEA that looks at all the resource, so all the half a million ounces. So what impact that will have is instead of being a 5-year mine life, we'll jump to a 10-year mine life. I'm expecting the NPV to almost double, and a lot of the other economic parameters, as you would expect when we look at double the resource.
Well, of course, 35,000 ounces is a pretty small operation. Not too many of them are, you know, the markets don't reward small operations usually like they do the bigger guys. It's my understanding though that you may be toying with the idea, you and your board, that to put in some production, perhaps to generate some cash flows to be able to finance bigger, larger scale exploration. Do I have that right?
Yes, spot on, Jay. For us, 35,000 ounces per annum is not the end goal or the target. As you said, I'm ex-Rio, so is our chairman, Craig Parry, and we're looking for plus 100,000 ounce per annum operations. And we generally believe Sandman boasts the exploration potential to have multi-million ounce discovery there, such as a sleeper mine, couple of million ounces of high grade, located about 15 miles to the north on the same geological trend. So we're looking for another sleeper, and for us, the 500,000 ounces is the start. In this market, it hasn't been easy in the junior gold space since we created Gold Bull during COVID. So we had it's almost an Australian model where you start small and then you self-fund your exploration out of your production revenue. And a small-scale producer like that will pump out $20 million-$25 million US per annum, and that's really significant with respect to an exploration budget. We don't want to be, we can't, with our current market cap, be raising that kind of money for exploration. So that was the model. And to be honest, it hasn't been received as favorably on the TSX as we had hoped. Our top 10 shareholders are pretty supportive of it, but a lot of them are Aussie, and they get the small scale producer model. So that's why we're looking at the revised PEA, which will, increase the mine life and increase the economics just to something a bit more meaningful. And I expect that'll be out by April.
Right. As I looked at your some illustrations on your website showing those pits that are close together, and I have to think that gold doesn't fall out of the sky and just fall on the ground. It comes from deep down under. And I have to wonder, any ideas about some deep drill holes to try to find out where the mothership might be for these surface expressions?
So we've had a couple of advisors to our project who are a lot smarter than I am with respect to epithermal deposits. So we've had John Wood, who discovered Sleeper, advising us over the last couple of years. And we've also had Simon Meldrum, another epithermal guru. And those guys are basically seeing our current 500,000 ounces as anomalies. So we've got 500,000 ounces in the top 100 meters spread over the project. But where is that coming from? And what's the plumbing doing underneath that 500,000 ounces? Where does it all connect up? So we're thinking bigger picture with respect to our exploration program, because up until this year, there's always been a bias around these known pits. Because there's data, everyone, including ourselves, keep going to the known 500,000 ounces, keep trying to expand that incrementally. But in 2023, we're actually stepping back from that. We're almost like deleting those data points, and we're looking at the plumbing system. We're taking a new approach, looking for, it's called a mineral called bunningtonite. And this particular mineral is, it's hard to identify in the field because looking at the rock, you can't see it. You need a special scanning tool, hyperspectral tool, to actually identify this alteration mineral. But when you find this mineral, you typically find the Bonanza Gold vein. So that's a trick that John Wood has put us onto. And it's actually a very low cost exploration method. It involves a lot of boots on ground, hyperspectral, good old fashioned science, which has really been lacking, I'd say, in the state over the last 20 years. We've had this reliance on the drill bit rather than stepping back and looking at these new target areas. So we're very eager for the snow to melt to allow our geos to get back on the ground and start that work, I'd say probably in the coming weeks.
Right, so you have your program set up for 2023. You're going to do some drilling. I know you don't have a lot of money in the till now, I believe, but and you're going to have to raise some probably. But some of what you're talking about sounds like maybe lower cost exploration to get set up for drilling.
Yeah, absolutely. For now, the priority is looking for more sleeper targets. So that's going to take us, 3 to 6 months of on the ground work, and it's going to cost you only a few hundred thousand dollars, which is relatively light budget. It's predominantly on boots on ground salaries. So once we've got our bunningtonite targets, then we'll have our define our drill program. So it's a bit premature to talk about a program until we know how many targets we're going to have to drill test. So as soon as we finish that, complete that work program, which the start time somewhat dependent on the snow melt, we'll be out on the ground and defining those new targets, and we'll certainly share them with the market as we define new bunningtonite sleeper targets.
Right. Well, so you'll start the snow melts. Well, you have a lot of snow this year, I understand, up there, maybe. More than
Well,
you.
we have a lot in Tahoe. Winnemucca is not so bad. There's
Oh,
only a
okay.
couple of inches in Winnemucca where the project's located. So I anticipate, with a bit of rain, that will be washed away in no time, and we can get back out in the ground. And in parallel to that, we've got our PEA underway. So we've
Oh,
got an
good.
engineer working on our PEA. We've also got some long lead permitting items that I'd like to get going, just because the permit process in the US takes years. So we can do a lot of that in parallel to the studies we're currently doing. So when the decision comes to create the mine, we're not starting that years from then, but from now for our monitoring, biological monitoring, water monitoring, and so forth.
Right. So a PEA is coming out. How soon might we expect that?
I hope in April. I
Wow.
expect it in
Okay.
April.
Yeah, good. Well, that's certainly then one share price driver potentially. I guess that along with, it just seems to me that, I'm familiar with the Sleeper deposit. I was a banker and was involved with Westpac Banking Corp. In fact, it was one of the finance one of the group of banks that provided the first gold loan in modern times for the Sleeper mine. They had an incredibly high I don't know how wide it was, I don't remember anymore, but like multiple ounces. I mean, it just, right? It, incredibly high grade.
Yeah, one of the highest grade deposits in the state, and we're essentially along the same structure, the same geology, same rocks. So that's what gives us hope that all these little deposits, these cumulative 500,000 ounces, we believe is just really the smoke above the fire. And it's using good science, robust science, to narrow down our drill targets to explore them in the second half of this year.
Yeah, well, it's certainly, I guess, yeah, I mean, it has the potential. I mean, a $6 million US $6 million market cap. Nobody's paying attention. When the market starts to heat up, a good PEA, I think it's pretty exciting, actually. Company is going to have to raise money, though, at some point. Accredited investors, is it open, or do you have your sources lined up pretty much for financing?
We're always open to new investors, but we're not looking to raise anytime soon. We
Right.
believe that we can add more value where we've got enough money to get us through to the end of this year in the bank. And we've also got a lot of other interesting ideas, like essentially low to no cost M&A activity that we're looking at the moment.
Ah,
And
okay.
like ourselves, there are also other undervalued companies in Nevada. And we do think it's a good time to be consolidating a very prospective district while everyone's asleep, basically.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear you say you're not going to raise money at 6 cents a share or whatever it is now. 8 cents a share Canadian. No, as a shareholder, I'm glad to hear that. Next round, much higher, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so. I think
Any
it's very, very much market driven, and now we've seen gold push through 1900, and there's a correlation with our share price and the gold price. So
yeah.
let's see gold hit 2000 and see where we're at.
Yep. Well, I think it's a matter of time, I believe. I hope, anyway. Cherry, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts about this exciting story. I think it's exciting. Market obviously isn't excited in it right now, but when you look at the potential low price, I like the story a lot and really be watching closely for the new PEA, the updated PEA, which I will obviously pass along to my subscribers and to people who view this channel. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time, Jay.